Om Shanti. 27th September 2019, Friday. Lessons from today's Sakar Murli. Sweet children, you are the Salvation Army who will salvage all souls from their karmic bondages. You must not get trapped in karmic bondages. So Baba is saying, sweet children, you are the Salvation Army. You have to salvage the world. And you yourself must not get trapped in any karmic bondages. What is Salvation Army? That is a Christian organization. And it is present in around 131 countries. And it has got the membership of about 1.7 million people. And the aim is running charity shops, operating shelters for the homeless, disaster relief and humanitarian aid to developing country. And it was established, founded way back in 1865 in London by a Christian preacher, William Booth, and his wife Catherine. It provides a lot of facilities like charity shops, rehab centers for de-addiction, and they build hostels for the homeless, children's homes for the elderly, mother and baby homes, general hospitals, schools, maternity hospitals, women and men refuge center, and so on. So whenever something like comes, Baba often says that you are the Salvation Army. And the aim of this institution is to bring salvation to the poor, to the destitute, to the hungry, by meeting their physical and spiritual needs. So this is something about Salvation Army. And they have got this red flag, the Salvation Army. So Baba says, you are the Salvation Army. They try to salvage, but the real salvage is from the psychological prison of karmic bondage. And you must not get trapped in this prison of karmic bondage. In today's Sakar Murli, multiple times Baba said he is the boatman. He has come to free you. He has come to take you across. So we are the Salvation Army. So what we have to do? That's an important question. Just as this institution is a spiritual institution and aim is to provide physical and spiritual relief. So here we also have to provide spiritual relief to the souls. And what is that relief? To bring salvation. Salvage means to save. Like a boat is capsized, drowned. It is saved by a group of people. So the boat of the world is also capsized. And we have to salvage the boat of the world. So the first aim is to save souls from getting trapped in karmic bondages. How are we going to do this? How should we do? Or what should we do in order to save souls from getting trapped in karmic bondages? Karmic bondages. This is the prison, cell, jail. And souls are trapped here. Souls are trapped in this prison. We have to save these souls. What should we do? Or how should we go about it? This is the prison of karmic bondage. How are we going to save them from karmic bondage? What are we going to do? Anyone? For saving souls, we need to first understand some of the laws of karma. Without understanding the laws of karma, we cannot save souls from getting trapped in karmic bondages. So teach them what? Law of karma. Not just teach, but let them become the very embodiment of this knowledge, so that they can free themselves from this prison of karmic bondage. So we are the Salvation Army, and our aim is to free soul from this prison, from this psychological prison of karmic bondage. So we have to teach them, make them understand some laws of karma. And what are the laws of karma? What are the laws of karma? There are about 12 laws of karma. The first is the great law. Great law says, as you sow, so shall you reap. Whatever you have done, you will get the result of it. Nobody can escape this law. This is that one known as the great law. Anybody who has done anything, good or bad, the same thing will come back to him. No matter what you do, even God cannot interfere in the karma theory. He doesn't interfere. He is detached. Somebody has done very sinful activities. Now he is in the stage of repentance. But that doesn't mean that he will get free. For example, it's shown during the life of Buddha, there was a robber, Angulimal, and he used to cut thumbs. And he had already completed. His aim was 1000. He had completed about 999, and he used to hang them round his neck, the garland. So one thumb was needed, and that time he came in contact with Buddha and underwent spiritual transformation, enlightenment. And he surrendered unto Buddha and said, forgive me. Buddha said that I cannot forgive you. You have to seek forgiveness from those people to whom you have done wrong. So go to them. So he goes to them. But it's shown that people may probably did not understand that he has changed. They start hitting him, throwing stones, pelting stones at him. So he gets severely injured. This is one story. Few other stories are there. And then he comes back and dies in the lap of Buddha. So it's shown, though he understood that he has done something wrong, but yet that understanding did not free him from whatever he had done in the past. So everyone has to reap the harvest. Everyone has to reap the fruit of what one has sown. So the first law of karma is this. Understanding this law is very important to remain free from the karmic bondage. That's why our actions should be elevated, as far as possible, neutral. akarma. But you cannot reach akarma straight like that. You have to go through satkarma, good works, good deeds. So that's the first law of karma. The second law of karma is the law of creation. The first is great law. The second law is law of creation. Law of creation. This law says that nothing is happening without anything. You have to create everything. Then only things happen. Everything has been created. If you want happiness, you can create. So your happiness is your creation. Your sorrow is your creation. Your unhappiness is the result of your own self-victimization. Nobody is making me unhappy. Nobody is making me sorrowful. Nobody is responsible for my sufferings. So I stop the blame game first of all. Because this is the second law of karma. The law of creation. I can create everything. It's I who is responsible, not others. And if you see the whole world, the only culture which is prevalent is blame culture. This is known as blame culture. Everyone is blaming other person. It's because of you. It's because of you. It's because of you that my life has become hell. But karma philosophy says that you yourself are responsible for everything. You are creator. The third law of karma is the law of humility. It says that you have to accept that yes, whatever that has happened is true till now. So law of humility says, if things have happened with me in a wrong manner, definitely I am responsible for it, and I must have that sense of humility to accept the things as they are, rather than resisting, rather than saying that, oh, this is not because of that. One has to become, sometimes one becomes a small child in the lap of karma, or a plaything, or a toy. So you have to accept, yes, definitely. With this acceptance will come. Acceptance doesn't mean, humility doesn't mean that you accept defeat. But humility is a positive response, rather than that sense of negativity, where you resist everything, everyone. The third law of karma is the law of growth. This law says that we are always in the process of growth. Many people say that 10 years back we were better. Our stage was good. Now it's not good. Our effort, purushartha, was good 5 years back. Now it's not there. It cannot be like that. Because if you are here and now you are here, you have got this 5 years of experience here, which was not there at this point of time. No matter what experience, good or bad, but here you are grown up person than what you were in the past. So the law of karma says that you are always growing in life. So don't have that feeling or keep on telling yourself that no, now I'm not good. 10 years back I was okay. 5 years back my purushartha, my effort were good. And now everything is wrong. I have fallen down. This is also an inferiority complex, or this is also mean feelings about oneself. So we are always in the process of growth. The next is law of responsibility. This is something, if anything wrong happens, I am responsible. That's overlapping. Another is the law of connection. Everything that's happening in the universe, everything is interconnected. You have to join the dots. If something has happened to me, really, this is something related to something in the past. Everything, the whole universe is interconnected. Everything is interconnected. A man is about to enter his car. He opens the door and there is a dog sitting there, and the dog bites that man. He sits in his car, reaches his office. His boss is very much angry with him and he shouts at him. And this man then shouts at his junior. And that junior shouts to the sweeper who is there. And the sweeper is reaching home and he shouts at his wife. And the wife is so angry, she is shouting at the child because he is always watching television. The child is angry, he goes out. He takes a stone and throws at the dog. Things are all interconnected. We cannot say that this is happening independently. Everything in the universe is interconnected. So law of connection, then law of focus. Another law is the law of focus. You can't think of two things at one time. You have to remain focused in life. You cannot chase two goals. That's why multitasking sometimes, though we do, but it is sometimes dangerous as regards goals. We can always focus on one time. Sitting here, we are listening. But at the same time, we are thinking of something else, then listening stops. That's why you must have seen. Everybody sitting in the Murli class, suddenly somebody remembers something old event. For that 5 minutes, what is said in the Murli is lost. Why? You cannot think of two things at one time. So that's the law of focus. Then the law of giving and hospitality. This is also a good law. You give and you receive. It is in giving that you receive. Law of here and now means to live at this moment. Law of now, present. Rather than brooding over the past, becoming sorrowful, rather than becoming anxious and fearful and having a sense of insecurity about future, the best thing is to live in this moment, at this moment, in this moment. In this moment lies the eternity. So it's the power of now. So stay in this moment. We really do not know what is going to happen throughout the day. But at present, right now, here we are. Then the power of change. In this universe, everything is changing. Nothing is permanent. No relationship is permanent. No human being is permanent. Right now, people who are with us, they may be dead tomorrow. Nothing remains. The most certain law of the universe is uncertainty. Everything is changing. Everything is in the stage of flux. There was one philosopher. He used to say, you cannot step in the river twice. This is the river which is flowing. You cannot step in the same river water twice. You put the leg, your feet, you bring out. Again you put the feet, but the water has already gone. So you cannot put your feet twice in river, because that water is already gone. So this world is, everything is in the stage of flux. 11th law of karma is law of patience and reward. Have patience and the reward will come. Don't be impatient. We have done so good things, nothing is coming. We have done so many good activities, but where is the result? People are earning, people are getting so much good results. I am not getting, why? Wait, patience. And the last law, the law of significance and law of inspiration. Whatever small you do, that is added to the whole. You do a small act here, but that gets added to the whole. I think this is known as Gestalt principle. I forgot. So whatever small that is done is added to the whole. That's the law of significance and law of inspiration. Whatever small you do, that can become an act of inspiration for the whole world. So every small thing what we do is reaching out to the whole. There is something known as butterfly effect. Butterfly. Small thing influences the whole, big things. So we are the Salvation Army. So Salvation Army means we have to salvage the world. The world is, the people are trapped in the karmic bondages. Free them from the karmic bondages. That is the goal. Okay.